In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The psalm for the fourth Sunday of Easter is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We join in confessing the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon for today is based on Psalm 23. We've probably all heard Psalm 23 a million times, maybe even have it memorized, especially in the King James Version. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known and well-loved passage in the Bible. If anyone knows a psalm, it's Psalm 23. The imagery is beautiful and comforting, and we hear it at nearly every Christian funeral. It's really too bad that it's often associated only with dying and funerals. I mean, it's certainly fitting for such occasions, but at the same time, it's really a psalm for all of life. In six short verses, it really encapsulates our entire life as Christians, as sheep of our good shepherd, Jesus. And in spite of how well known it is, it might actually suffer from our familiarity with it. We know it so well, it's easy to gloss over it. So we're going to take some time today to meditate on the words of this psalm and what they say about your life under Christ. It's all about what your life is as a little lamb who belongs to the good shepherd. It's all about who Jesus is for you and what he does for you as he carries you in his arms throughout your life and into eternity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If Jesus is our good shepherd, then we are his sheep. Sheep go astray. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are stubborn and want to do their own thing. That's what our sin is, us wanting to do our own thing without regard for the word of God. Yet Jesus seeks out his sheep. They don't seek him out. They don't look for him. But he takes them up in his arms and carries them, rescuing them from harm, danger, and even the death that they would bring upon themselves. You and I are those sheep who need rescuing. He calls us by name and he leads us. As we heard from Peter in today's epistle, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. With Jesus as the shepherd and overseer of our souls, we shall not want. We shall not be lacking in what we need for our lives, both here in this world and in the world to come. And this reminds us that we don't need to fret and worry. He especially provides everything that we need for eternal life with him. Jesus gave up his life on the cross for our sins so that we could live forever with him. There, everything we could have need of was accomplished. Jesus' very life was given for his sheep. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, eternally, forever. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Jesus gathers his sheep around himself as his church. to feast in the lush, green, life-giving pasture of his word. On the day of Pentecost, after all the speaking in tongues and the wind and fire and 3,000 people being baptized, what did the believers do? That stuff didn't keep on going all the time, every time they got together. It was a one-time thing. After all that excitement, we're told that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That was in our reading from Acts. The regular business as usual thing for the church to do was to gather around Jesus to hear the word. That's the apostles' teaching, primarily the New Testament. The fellowship is the coming together. The koinonia is the word there, or communion as it can be translated. The breaking of bread, often shorthand for the Lord's Supper in Luke's writings, and the prayers. Now that all ought to sound a little bit familiar to us. This gathering around Jesus in his word and sacrament is what it is to lie down and rest in the green pastures of the Good Shepherd. This is what the church, the body of Christ, the believers, still does when gathered in worship. St. Paul calls the church our mother, where we are given the new birth that comes through faith in Christ. The early Christians were devoted to what goes on in the gathering of the church. We are told they devoted themselves to these things because this is how the Good Shepherd comes to be with his sheep, in the word, in the sacraments. You know, anyone claiming not to need these things is certainly no sheep of the Good Shepherd, but has wandered away after some other false shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters. Jesus calms the storms of our souls and brings us peace, and gives us to drink of the life-giving water of the Spirit. Jesus especially does this when he calls you and me to be his own in the waters of baptism. Our baptism into God's name is what makes God our Father and Jesus our Good Shepherd. There, where his name is put on us, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he claims us as his own, and because of that, we can each truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. There's no doubt about it. Through baptism, all his promises to lead, provide, forgive, protect, and bring us to eternal life are for us, for you, and we can believe and trust his promises. He restores my soul. When my own sin separates me from God, when the brokenness of the world plunges me into despair, he restores me. He forgives me, leading me back to the waters of baptism that quenched the thirst of my soul, that cleansed me of my sin. Where the Good Shepherd claimed me as one of his own sheep and will not let me go, time and time again, he brings us back and restores us. Every time you hear the word of forgiveness, the absolution spoken, that all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, your soul is restored, washed clean, made new. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, we pray. And he does. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He leads us, meaning he goes before us to the cross, to the grave, rising again for our justification, so that in him and him alone we might be righteous. Though as wandering sheep, we have no righteousness of our own. We have the righteousness of the Good Shepherd who leads us. He is the way. Even when we suffer, especially for doing good, remember that Jesus went before us as the one who truly alone was good, but suffered the greatest evil for us. The epistle told us, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." He leads, we follow. He has to lead because he alone knows the paths of righteousness. Jesus is with us through even the very worst things that life in this world can bring to us. Each of us can say with the psalmist, King David, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There is no promise that Jesus will take us around that valley of the shadow of death. No promise that we will escape this veil of tears unscathed. But he is with us as we go through it. And in fact, he himself has gone through it ahead of us, before us. Jesus doesn't lead us through anything that he hasn't already gone through for us, so that he can bring us through to the other side, to the resurrection of the dead, even as he himself has risen from the dead, victorious over sin and death. With Good Shepherd Jesus taking us through that dark and deep valley, there's no need to fear. He uses his rod, which was like a club, to knock down our enemies like sin and the devil that want to pull us out of the arms of our shepherd. And he uses his staff to guide us, to keep us from wandering away from him. Now, and sometimes when he uses that staff on us, it might smart a bit, but it's ultimately for our good to keep us on the path. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Jesus feeds us as he leads us on our journey. Not only does he provide us with food and other necessities for this body and life, he also sets the table of the feast of his body and blood. He feeds his sheep with his rich food, food that gives forgiveness of sins, eternal life, fellowship with Christ himself and all our fellow believers. And he feeds us this meal, even in the face of our enemies, in the face of the devil, who seeks to destroy our faith and lead us away from the Good Shepherd so that he can pick us off one by one after he lures us away from the rest of the flock, away from the church. Christ feeds us even as we face struggles with our own besetting sins that we can never seem to shake. He feeds us even as we deal with sickness, disease, depression, despair, in order to give us the feast of his goodness. He is our great joy in the midst of whatever sorrows or challenges or other joys we may have. The anointing oil was meant to heal and soothe wounds. A shepherd would sometimes carry that with him. And what greater healing do you have than the healing of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins that the Good Shepherd gives to you? And the overflowing cup means that this forgiveness for you, for me, will never run out. It cannot be exhausted. Every last person is a sheep, and every last sheep has a shepherd, whether the sheep realizes it or not. And that shepherd is either Jesus or the devil. There's no in between. The devil is one of the thieves who comes only to steal and kill the sheep, no matter how enticing he may seem at first. The good shepherd, who gives you his body and blood at his table, who anoints your head with oil, who fills your cup to overflowing, is the one and only true shepherd and overseer of your souls, who truly holds you, loves you, carries you, feeds you, and leads you to the pastures of life everlasting. Good Shepherd Jesus leads you only for your ultimate good, and he saves the best for last. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word follow there means to pursue. His goodness and mercy are pursuing you. They're chasing after you. They don't want to let you go. He doesn't want to let you go. even if you try to run from them, they're chasing you down. His goodness and mercy aren't one-time things, but are continually there for you as you receive his word of forgiveness in your hearing, peace, and pardon, as you dine at his table, feasting on the body and blood of the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. His blessings follow you not only in this life, but into an eternity of grazing in his rich pastures, where there is no longer any thief who steals and kills and destroys, but where there is only abundant life. And you shall dwell in the house of the Lord, your good shepherd, forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Bidden by our shepherd, let us come before his throne of grace in prayer on behalf of all people according to their needs. Blessed shepherd, you established your church with your sacrificial death and mighty resurrection. Grant us devotion that we may abide in the teaching of the apostles and honor the fellowship of the church. Guard us against all enemies of your word and keep us within the care of your flock and staff forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty shepherd, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant to us good government and good leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty against all threats. Give them wisdom and moderation in their pandemic response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving shepherd, you loved the world enough to shed your blood, and you desire that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Inspire and equip your church and her ministers to speak faithfully and boldly your word, and bless all those who serve us on your behalf. Bless us especially when we are persecuted for the faith or suffer for the sake of the good that honors you and is obedient to your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful shepherd, your wounds are our healing, and your voice calls us to you in time of need. Hear us on behalf of all those who suffer in body or mind, who grieve those whom they love, and to whom death draws near. We pray especially for all those we name in our hearts. Grant them healing according to your will, grace to sustain them in the day of trouble, and hope of the new and everlasting life to come. Be with the unemployed and the distraught, and return them to health and livelihood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious shepherd, you seek out those who have fallen and restore the sinner to repentance. Send forth your spirit to rekindle faith in the hearts of those who have fallen away from the truth or who have been overcome by temptation and sin. Bring good from ill and increase in all the hunger for your word and a recognition of our need, that many may be gathered into your flock when church doors are opened wide again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O great good shepherd, we pray you to hear your sheep and answer our prayers with mercy, granting us those things profitable for us and our salvation, and keeping from us all things harmful. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.